Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Baptism Sunday. I'm Kevin and we're glad that you're here. And before I get started, I do have one announcement that I want to make and recognize, and that is for Hope Distributed. It's the building that's located right behind our church on our property. This past week, the Chamber of Commerce gave them a distinguished award that they were the nonprofit of the year for the entire valley. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah. I don't know if Jeff is in here. Is Jeff Wilhelm in here? Right here. Would you just stand up? This is one of our directors. Right here. Jeff Wilhelm. Thank you so much, brother. Yeah. Grateful. 21 years ago, it started in that, basically inside that window right there. And it gives not just hope, but it gives food and clothing and now baby diapers and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty incredible what God has done to go from inside that little kitchen to its own separate building. And that was really the dream of Pastor Kerry and Pastor Sam. And so, Jeff, thanks for helping us move forward and impacting the community, really. Today's Baptism Sunday, you probably figured that out. The tank is on the platform. And in order to get you ready for what's about to happen, I want to show you a baptism. I think baptism is amazing enough on its own, but it is beautiful. It doesn't have to be done in community, but there is something powerful when baptism happens in community. Here's a version of a baptism. Watch this to get your brains and your hearts ready for what's about to happen. The community celebrates baptism. We are spotlighting, or last week we ended a series, if you were here or if you weren't here, I'm going to catch you up to speed about what we just did. We were in a series that was looking at encounters that people had in Scripture with Jesus pre-resurrection and post-resurrection, and one of those was Saul. The spotlight was on Saul the terrorist. Are you listening? A terrorist who was persecuting Christians. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 9. I'm going to go quickly through these verses. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. Brighter than the noonday sun is what it says in Acts chapter 26. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice and it said to him, Saul. Saul, hey, Saul, I'm trying to get your attention as if the light wasn't bright enough. Why do you persecute me? Saul encounters Jesus, a person that he's been persecuting, not just the faith, and Saul is blinded in this moment, and he's led to Damascus. There's another man, a regular dude, not a priest, not a pastor, not anything special. His name is Ananias, and Ananias, the Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to go to Saul. And Ananias is like, what? Go to Saul. He's been killing Christians. Yeah, I want you to go to him. He's already praying, and I want you to pray over him. In Damascus, there was a disciple, Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, and he said, go. And Ananias is really afraid. Verse 15, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. So Ananias went, and he found Saul. He laid his hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who has appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. He got up, and he was baptized. I asked if you were here last week for you to, in your mind, envision who is a terrorist throughout history that you would picture. So I don't know where you're at today. If you would sit here and you would say, man, there's no way I'm ready to be baptized. Saul was ready to be baptized. the murderer, the dragging people to prison for the sake of Jesus, going after him. And it says right here in Scripture, he got up and he was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and he regained his strength. We're going to offer you some food when you leave today. It ain't going to be healthy. We're just telling you that now, but you'll like it. It's good. It's Costco cake. He regained his strength. Saul stayed a few days with the believers in Damascus, and he immediately got up and he began preaching. What? Anybody can preach. That's supposed to be a joke. He began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who was causing such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they ask? And didn't he come here to arrest them? And didn't he just stand there and watch Stephen get stoned to death? Isn't this the same guy who's now baptized and immediately he's preaching? Wow. Didn't he take them in the chains leading to the priest? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus, they could not refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Saul doesn't have a class. He doesn't take a membership initiative. He doesn't join a life group. He doesn't do any of those things. Saul meets Jesus, and Saul gets baptized. And the next thing we see is the church is basically caught on fire because of this man. What is baptism? Baptism comes from the word baptizo. It's mentioned 77 times in the New Testament. It means to plunge, to immerse. Picture a ship that is slowly sinking into the water. That's baptism. It marks a break with the past and a bold statement about your future life in Christ. Some people just can't get past this. There's a story about Nick Stitzman. Nick Stitzman was a railroad car worker, and he was working on a refrigerator boxcar. He got stuck in the refrigerator boxcar, and Nick Stitzman begins to panic. Nick Stitzman knows what the job of this boxcar is supposed to do, and he begins to write on the walls of the boxcar messages because he thinks he's going to die. In fact, they find Nick Stitzman the next day in the refrigerator boxcar dead. And the truth is, the temperature of the boxcar was like 55 degrees. He couldn't let go of what he thought was happening. He knew this boxcar was cold. It, in fact, never was. And he couldn't move past that. And the next day, he kept writing all these notes, and they found these notes. And apparently what he formerly knew, are you listening? He couldn't let go of it. And it impacted how he was living in the moment. And they found him dead the next day, not from hypothermia, even though he thought that's what he was dying from. Wow. Who should get baptized? I mean, if Paul can get baptized immediately, who else could and should get baptized? Anyone who gets saved. Anyone who gets saved should get baptized. Baptism does not save you. But if you get saved, you should get baptized. I want you to see this slide. There was a report that came out just a few months ago, and this slide shows a Barna report. They do all kinds of research among church people across denominations, Catholic, Protestants, and this is what it says. That 52% of churchgoers do not know what the Great Commission is. 52% of all churchgoers don't know what it is. 25% have said they've heard of it, but they can't recall its exact meaning. 17% of churchgoers would say, "I know what it is, and I can explain it." 6% is like, "I'm not quite sure." That means, according to this research, across hundreds of thousands of people in our country, that less than 1 in 5 people knows what the Great Commission is. What is the Great Commission? Here it is. Matthew 28, post-resurrection for Jesus. Then the 11 disciples, not 12, 11 now. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I love that phrase. So apparently you can worship and still doubt. There's room for you to do that. Some worshiped and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," how do you do this? Why would you do this? How do you do it with any confidence? "Surely you should know that I will be with you to the very end of the age." That's the Great Commission. You should go, make disciples, baptize, teach, and the reason you do it and the way that you can do it, I'm going to go with you. I'll be with you at all points, at all times. You're not going to do this alone. I heard this week this statistic, and I didn't put it on a slide. 98% of American Christians will die without ever sharing the gospel with anyone outside of their family. 98%. Lord, help us. You're not going to leave today and not have heard the gospel. Not this right out of scripture, what we're doing. I like how Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I thought it said teaching them to obey most of what I suggested. Teaching them to obey some of what I've told you to do. He says right here, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We don't like to be commanded to do things. But in here, he's asked us to do three things. Why should we do this? Why do we celebrate baptism? Here it is. It's Jesus. Jesus got baptized. And he said, "I'm going to do this to fulfill the will of my Father." So if Jesus did this, he participated in communion and he participated in baptism. So here we go. We're getting ready to celebrate that in just a minute. Whether you've checked out or not at all or not, we're going to celebrate in just a second. We're going to wake you right back up. This is not just about getting wet. It's about being woven into God's story. It's not a spiritual graduation ceremony. It's a spiritual allegiance. This is burial and birth all at once. Think about that. Burial and birth all at once. Do you know that Jesus' last words, which I just read, should be our first priority? Jesus' last words should be our first priority. Now, before I get to one closing video here in just a second, I want to just give you this quote. I'm going to let it marinate for a second because it's going to catch some of you. It just take just a second to let it grab hold of you. Dallas Willard said this: "The general human failing is to want what is right and important, but at the same time, not to commit to the kind of life that will produce the actions we know to be right and the condition we want to enjoy. This is the feature of the human experience character that explains why the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We intend what is right, but we avoid the life that would make it reality." Can everybody process that? Let me help you. It's sort of like when we say, "I like Jesus. I'm not sure I just want to be like or become like Jesus." I don't know if you know it, but this past Monday, the Boston Marathon was held. Maybe the most popular of all marathons. That's a 26.2-mile race. You may or may not know this, but we hired a new children's director in the fall. And this children's director, when she was younger, was at the Boston Marathon when the Boston bombing took place. And she said to our staff a few weeks ago, "I felt like when I was there that day that the Lord put it in my heart, I want you to run in this one day." So our children's director, Catherine McPherson, ran this past Monday in the Boston Marathon. Yeah, you can clap for that. Here's a picture. We have a picture of her at the completion of the Boston Marathon. Now, the bad part for her was that 3 weeks ago, as she's done all this training, and you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon. She's done all this training. She shared with a few of us quietly, and then till all of our staff found out, that she had a stress fracture in her leg. So she ran 26.2 miles this past Monday, and she said by mile three, she knew this is going to be the most painful run I've ever done. And she said, and it was, even though it was the greatest weekend of my life. Her brother flew in, all the family came, and she said there was a couple different times where I started walking and the crowd would just urge me on, and she said they would just be yelling, "Keep running," and they would call out her number, and she said, and then I'd go back to running. The whole Dallas Willard quote is wrapped up in this. She cannot just watch a Boston Marathon and expect to train and run in it. She can't just study it or read about it or randomly often, once in a while I'll jog and hopefully I can qualify and hopefully I can go and be in the Boston Marathon. You cannot do that for the Boston Marathon, and you for sure can't do that in the spiritual life. You cannot intend to, you got to sell out to it. You got to absolutely embrace it and go all in. And what we're going to do this morning is a testament. It's a visible sign that would say that. I can't just intend to watch the marathon. I got to get in it. Baptism is not a transfer. Are you listening? It's not a transfer of information. It's formation through imitation. Formation through imitation. Baptism isn't about the location. We're going to do it right here. Baptism is a declaration. That's what it is. I'm choosing to follow. It's not an afterthought. It is a large piece of the discipleship journey. The worship team's getting ready to come while this video plays. I don't know how many of you watch the show Duck Dynasty, but many of you who would know that Phil Robertson, the father, the patriarch of the family, got pretty dramatically saved in his experience. And this is a scene of his baptism, a recreation of what happened when his pastor said to him, "Phil, it's time for you to die. This is what needs to happen in your life." Watch what happens for Phil Robertson.
Your daddy's lived a hard life. That ends today. We gonna bury that old man. Just turn it into water, represents a grave. But a new man is gonna rise up. This day forward, who's gonna be Lord in your life? Jesus Christ, baby. With that confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost for the forgiveness of your sins.
If you're already signed up for baptism, you can come and stand right over here to the right, and Angela Sipe and Angela Cole will get you in order, and we're getting ready to baptize some folks. Here's how this is going to work. One at a time, the people who have already signed up for baptism are going to come up, and they're going to get in the tank, and somebody is going to step up to this mic, and on their behalf, before we baptize them, they're going to read their testimony of what it is or why it is they're doing this today. This is the highlight. You need to hear from these folks. While they're doing that, though, I just want to say this. There might be some of you that are sitting here today, and you have put this off. You have wrestled with this. I just listened to a preacher this week, and he said, "I talked about this, and I offered spontaneous baptism, and I had two staff people who had never been baptized before who decided they wanted to get baptized." Two staff people at a church. So I just want to go over this before while they're getting ready. This is 2,000 years of history that we participate in today. You get to participate in Christ defeating death, hell, and the grave. You might have some questions. Does baptism save you? It does not. Well, what if I'm sitting here and I'm wrestling with this and I was baptized as a child? You can honor that, but you also can renew your vows. So you may be sitting here today and you may be going, I think today's the day I want to get baptized. You can come right now. What if I have a messy life and my life isn't totally cleaned up yet? That does not preclude you from being baptized today. Jesus washes you clean, not this water. What if I don't have clothes here today? We got clothes. They may be nicer than the ones you wore in, and we'll send you out in them. Don't let that be the excuse. We really do. We got clothes for you today if you want to get baptized. What if my family's not here? We got it on video. We'll take pictures. We'll make sure that your family gets to celebrate in baptism with you today if that's you. We got a room full of people, and I'm not crazy about them watching me do this. Listen, friend, all you got to picture is Catherine at those moments when her leg was in pain, and she's on mile 20 about to go up the last hill, and she's trying to figure out how in the world am I going to finish this last 6 miles. There's a whole bunch of people that come behind and beside her, and they force her to get to the finish line. That's what we are. We're the church, and we just want to cheer you on if that's you. So maybe you're sitting here today, and you would have every excuse in the world. I know they signed up, but I didn't sign up. Don't let that get in the way. Maybe today is your day that you want to get baptized. You can come right while these people start and go get in line, and we'll celebrate and cheer you today. And we'll have everything you need. Are we ready? All right, let's do this.
Amen. I was sitting over there thinking, as Jordan comes, I was sitting over there thinking, I'm coaching Farm League Baseball this year. You can be excited or feel sorry for me, but we're 6 to 8-year-olds, and the last 4 games have been won or lost in the last inning. And when you have 6 to 8-year-olds and a lot of parents who think their kid, you know, you want to win, there's a lot of excitement and stress in the last inning of a Farm League Baseball game. And if we can get excited in a sporting event or whatever it is, surely we can get excited today about new life. Amen? Amen. So this is Jordan. And yeah, Lyle, if you want to go ahead and read.
Wow, I don't know how these guys do this every Sunday. What a crowd. But I am so, so honored. I am just beyond ecstatic that my granddaughter has asked me. 73 years old, and still tear up and so on, so y'all just bear with me if you will. She wrote this. She said, when I was little, I would go to church all the time, even if I don't quite understand what it was. When I was about 5th grade through the beginning of 8th grade, I stopped going. Not sure why, I just didn't know anymore. Those stages of my life, I felt like I was distant from God. In those times in my life, I felt lonely and self-conscious. But I began going back to church again in mid-8th grade, and my life was so I felt confident and loved just by being at the church family.
And my family. Today, I want to get baptized and take this step to be closer to God. I pray that God will be by my side like he's always been, and I am so grateful to give my life to God, my Savior.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, Jordan, you love Jesus? And you want to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
And you realize his grace sustains you even now. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to baptize you, Pastor Kevin and I. If you want to hold your nose. Jordan, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, and during any of these, if you want to come up here, if it's a family, a friend, you are welcome to come up here. Get as close as you want. All right. Next, we have Miss Carolyn.
I'm so proud to introduce my wife, Carolyn, and I'm so proud to witness this with y'all. Her testimony is, faith, trust, and pixie dust is a quote from a movie I grew up watching, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Growing up, I thought I knew God. Being raised Catholic, I followed all the rules, knew most of the prayers, and worshiped him. What I didn't know was how far I was actually pulling away from him. It took God introducing me to my husband, as of yesterday, to know just what I was missing. We both decided to go to church one day, March 8th, 2026, and my life completely changed. I finally knew what I was missing to make my life complete. Forgiveness, unconditional love, and unwavering patience, all gifts to us from our Father, our God, and our King. With this baptism, I'm expressing publicly what I've accepted privately, to follow and dedicate my life to him. I know through God, all things are possible, even what we believe to be impossible. Faith, trust, and Jesus' love is what I live by instead.
I don't know if y'all picked up on this, but she was married yesterday, and she's getting baptized today.
Carolyn, do you promise to follow Jesus all the days of your life? And do you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Carolyn Coville, her new last name. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll let you get that through, brother. Yeah, hallelujah. Miss Kerrigan is joining us now. Yeah, get up here. Come on.
My name is Kenzie, and I have had the absolute privilege and honor of getting to be Kerrigan's Young Life leader, and so it's an honor to get to read her story to you today. She writes that, growing up, I was a part of a family who attended church every Sunday. There has never been a time where I haven't believed in God. Even though we went to church, it was never really a priority for me. I never spent time with God. I was finding my value in sports, academics, and the approval of others. Everything began to change this past fall when I was invited to Young Life Fall Weekend. Being surrounded by people all seeking to follow Jesus had a huge impact on me. We would stay up and do Bible studies and spend quality time talking about God. During that weekend, I got to build Christ-centered relationships and learn more about what it truly means to live for him. The most meaningful part of fall weekend was my 20 minutes alone with God, and that was when I realized that I wanted my life and my relationship with Jesus to change. When I got home that Sunday, I began making changes. I started doing devotionals, spending time with God in prayer, and making him a priority. My faith was no longer something I only thought about on Sundays. It became something I carry with me every day. Little by little, I began to understand what it truly means to follow Jesus. Being a Christian means praising God not only in the good times, but also in the difficult ones. It means making time for him each day, trusting his plan, and relying on his guidance. I'm so thankful for the way Jesus has been working in my life, leading me closer to him, changing my heart, and giving me a new purpose. I know that my journey of faith is just beginning, but I want to continue trusting him, praising him through every high and low, and growing closer to him every day.
Wow. Amen. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. You got quite the support team up here, huh? So this young lady is a starting shortstop at Turner Ashby High School for the softball team and brought her whole team with her. Yeah, welcome, y'all. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Kerrigan, do you love the Lord today? Yeah, I can tell. You can see it on your face. You realize that he saves you even now, and you want to follow him all the days of your life?
Amen.
Then we're going to baptize you. You want to hold your nose. Kerrigan, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, Miss Taylor Moore. Dad, you can go ahead and come up here. Come on up. Yeah, scoot all back down here. Yeah, there you go.
So my name's Savannah. I don't go to this church, but I'm Taylor's friend. And when she texted me that she was getting baptized, I was so excited for her. I've just been able to help answer her questions and see her grow at school, so I'm really excited to read her testimony for you. She says, I was raised in a Christian family, but as I've grown up, my faith has become something personal that I've chosen for myself. Over the years, people have challenged my beliefs, which pushed me to grow and understand my faith more deeply. Because of that, my relationship with Jesus has become more intentional, and I try to live in a way that reflects him every day. Today, I'm choosing to be baptized to honor God for everything he's done in my life. I'm so thankful for his love and guidance, and hope others can experience the kind of faith that I have as well.
Amen. Amen. That's a good friend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's... Taylor, do you love the Lord today?
Yes.
And you want to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Yep. And realize his grace carries you even now. Amen. And Kevin and I are going to baptize you. Taylor, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Brian, there you go. We got you. That was...
Hi, I'm Tripp, and this is my amazing dad. I'm so privileged to be able to be here and speak to you all about him. I love him very much, and I'm truly grateful to have this opportunity to be here and enjoy this with him. I've always believed God was watching over me. But in April 2014, I came to understand that Jesus is my Savior and the one guiding my life. Today, I'm choosing baptism to publicly declare my faith in him and to commit to slowing down and trusting his plan for my life. My favorite scripture is Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen. Amen. Brian, you love the Lord?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah, I can see it on your face. You got his countenance. You want to follow him the rest of your days?
I absolutely do.
And realize his grace carries you even now.
Absolutely.
All right, then we're going to baptize you. We baptize you now, Brian, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Now, if Megan and John want to come up.
Good morning. I'm Brandon. I'm Megan's husband, and I couldn't be prouder to be able to read this for her and my son, actually. So, when I first stepped into Celebrate Recovery meeting, it wasn't because I was seeking help or even recognized any brokenness in myself. I was just trying to check a box from a graduate school assignment. It's interesting how God works, using a course requirement that God made to a place I likely never would have attended otherwise. I told myself I was too busy, but the truth was, admitting I needed recovery meant acknowledging I had lived experiences of hurt, habits, and hang-ups that I couldn't fix on my own. And attending these meetings, I encountered a grace I hadn't expected. The principles of Celebrate Recovery program offered a pathway to healing. My life at that point was relentless sprint. I was successful in my career and successful in school, but I was chasing milestones because I believed in my worth was directly tied to my accomplishments and my productivity. The hustle for worth mentality that I had held promised fulfillment, but I was burnt out. I was successful, yet I felt a deep void because I was running my own life, guided by the world's standards, and I was completely burnt out. The turning point came when I admitted my brokenness. I started turning to God and the teachings of Christ and reminded me that I am a beloved child of God and I'm not defined by my worldly achievements. The Bible's message of grace taught me that my worth is a gift, not something to be earned, and it was a concept that began to mend my brokenness. The last 2 years of my life, I've been an unlearning process rooted in faith. Celebrate Recovery offered me a safe, supportive community where I found others in a similar path. Through this, I was able to find strength and hope in God's promises. I learned that the rest isn't a weakness, but a biblical principle for renewal. My life is more intentional now and filled with peace that the hustle for worth mentality never provided. The greatest realization has been this: my inherited worth is not defined by my achievements. It is given, an unconditional part of who I am, a gift from God, healing from the hustle for worth. Mentally, through my faith and support of Celebrate Recovery, has given me not just my life back, but a purpose anchored in grace, and I'm so grateful for that. I have walked into Celebrate Recovery to finish a project, but I'm standing here today because God used this project to save my life. This baptism symbolizes the healing I found over the last 2 years of embracing a life rooted in Christ.
Amen. He used the project to save my life. He can do that. Megan, do you love Jesus today? And you want to walk with him all the days of your life? Yeah, and you recognize his grace carries you even now. All right, well, Pastor Margaret and I are going to baptize you. If you want to hold your nose. Megan, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we have John following mom.
This is my son, John. When I first started college, I thought I was supposed to be the beginning of the best years of my life. But instead, I find myself overwhelmed. I was anxious all the time about the classes, about fitting in, about who I was supposed to be. I felt like I was constantly trying to keep up. No matter how hard I tried, I never felt settled inside. There were nights I couldn't sleep because my mind wouldn't stop racing. I kept thinking, if I don't have it all together right now, I'm already falling behind. I felt alone, even when I was surrounded by people. But in the middle of all this anxiety, God started to pull at my heart. As the anxiety kept building, I started to feel like God was inviting me into something different. But I was not quite sure what. When my mom asked me how I was doing, I finally told her how stressed and overwhelmed I'd been. She really showed up for me, praying for me and helping me sort through everything. She and my dad kept reminding me I didn't have to deal with it alone. So I transferred to a Christian college, and honestly, I was nervous. I didn't know if it would fix anything, but during the first week, something changed. For the first time in a long time, I felt like I could breathe. Professors talked about Jesus openly, and I eventually realized that peace wasn't something I had to create. It was found in trusting Christ. Philippians 4:7 states, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." I used to think peace meant something in my life. I had to calm down. But now I know peace is Jesus meeting me where I am and reminding me I am not carrying things by myself. Baptizing me today shows that the peace I found in Christ has changed me, and I want to walk with him from here forward.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right, John. I know you love the Lord today, right?
Yes.
And you've said you want to walk with him for the rest of your days.
Yes.
All right. You recognize that the grace of God holds you even now.
Yes.
All right, brother. We're going to baptize you then. We baptize you now, John, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, stand with me, would you? We're going to celebrate as we leave today all that's happened here. But maybe you're still standing here and you're saying, I don't know, I'm still wrestling with this. If that's you, you can come up here in the next couple minutes while we celebrate, and we can baptize you before we leave here today. We got plenty of time. I mean, we're going to get out way early. Unless you come at the 9 o'clock service, then you're way late. We do want to celebrate what's happening. Let me pray before we go and before we sing our way out of here. Lord Jesus, today we give you praise. We want to be obedient to what you've asked us to do. And this is one of the things that publicly says what has happened inwardly in our hearts. I don't know who may be standing here today, Lord, that's still wrestling and trying to figure out should they or should they not do this. Whoever that is, Lord, I pray that you speak to them. I pray for the rest of us that we would, even though we may not know these folks, we've heard a part of their story and we've listened to it. I pray that we would commit this week, Lord, to pray for them and lift them up. They've made a public declaration that they have chosen you. Wow, we celebrate that, Lord, and we are grateful that many of us in this room can say we have been washed clean, not because of what we've done, but because of you. And now, Lord, we collectively want to celebrate what you have done and continue to do. We have been washed and continue to be washed. Amen.
If that's you, you can still make your way. You can make your way over here to the corner. We would love to celebrate with you today. And as she's getting ready, getting switched over some other clothes so she can go home dry. I want to make two announcements. The first is this: after this is over, we do have cake to celebrate, because you can't celebrate without cake. And also, next service, INEV, our Spanish congregation that meets here next service, they're baptizing 13 people. And so this is just going to continue. Yeah. We're going to continue to celebrate new life. And yeah, Kathy, come on. Amen. You reading anything? You say anything?
I'm going to talk.
Okay, yeah. Let's do it.
Right
there. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, you just talk right over there.
Well, I'll tell you, actually, to see Megan up there, who I also go to CR. Tomorrow, I will be sharing my testimony for the first time publicly. If you want to hear that in depth, come tomorrow night. 6:30 is, well, the meal's at 6. 6:30, the rest of the evening starts. But today, I've been defeating the lies of the enemy, of what he has held me in bondage for over 64 years. And I am celebrating new life in my testimony tomorrow. Thank you. The greatest victory is that I have not walked alone. God has been so faithful. A lot of you do not know, but today is the anniversary that my husband passed away 12 years ago. He's with Christ. I'm living in Christ. And so today I'm declaring victory over the lies of the enemy. And my dear friend, Pastor Margaret, I said to her, hold me under long enough, because the dead in me is going to be gone. That God has given me victory. And I am walking in new life. And the fact that I'm sitting in water, even last week, after testimonies at a women's conference, the theme was, this is my story, this is my song. Well, I asked God to give me a new song. And the song that he gave me was, I've Got a River of Life. And it's just even like a little kid's song. But the beauty of that is the vision of my husband and I with our daughter, singing that. And it talks about, I've got a river of life that sets the captives free, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. and he opens up the prison doors. Yeah, to set the captives free. All right, I almost have to sing it for you, but I'm not singing today, okay? The thing is... But it talks about filling your soul. And so in that, God, I had literally put my hand on my heart and I said, God, I need you to fill the hole in my soul and set me free. Yeah. And so that song is a new song for my life. And my husband used to do where it would say, spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. And he used to do this little throw in splash, splash. And I was just like, Lord, thank you that even in the remembrance of him passing, some of that was very hard in the way he did have to physically die. But to give me hope for my future with a song that shows victory and even happiness. That's why today I could not sit back there. I was like, yo, let me out. I've got to go up. So thank you for letting me share. And please, I did not know what CR was, so I'll just tell you this part, okay? Sorry, Pastor. You thought you were getting out early, but sorry. I was introduced to CR one Sunday morning here, hearing a couple's testimony of how God was delivering them and healing their marriage. And because of an alcohol addiction, that triggered me in part of his testimony. And I thought, I don't know what CR is. Well, guess what? CR is for hurts, habits, and hangups. And I truly had issues. So I wanted to know more, and I've been there. Part of this story, I will tell you, is I didn't even live here. So I traveled 2 hours weekly for over a year and a half. And God just moved me here last May.
Amen. So, thank you. All right. Kathy, I don't need to ask you any more questions. It's a joy for Pastor Margaret and I to do this. So, Kathy, we're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.